Up next, baseball tonight. The American League Championship Series gets underway at Minute Maid Park in Houston. And to tell us all about it, we're joined by our friend Sean McAdam of Boston Sports Journal. Hello there, Sean.
Rich, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Excited for mid-October baseball that, well, almost nobody thought was going to happen for the Red Sox.
Yeah, this is, I would say, a bonus for most Red Sox fans. You know, there was a lot of measured expectations for this regular season, and then the uncertainty of a one-game wild card that could have gone either way, and a division series against the team that finished eight games ahead of them. It was not exactly a given that they were going to be here, but they are now. And, you know, I guess you could suggest that they're playing with proverbial house money at this point, but in any event, should be a fun matchup.
Well, I wasn't sure what I thought at first of the announcement yesterday that Chris Sale would get the start tonight. But the more I think about it, the more I like this. It's really almost like a no-lose situation. Everybody else is available in the bullpen, some starters included. And if you get anything resembling the old Chris Sale, that's a big win. And then Eovaldi coming back in game two.
Yeah, obviously, I think it would have been difficult for Alex Cora to publicly explain what went into that decision. But if you read between the lines, it certainly seems as if they're trying to protect themselves in the event that Sale hasn't figured out some of the things he says he has. And if he has another rough outing like he did in Tampa or like he did in Washington in game 162, then you have an entire pitching staff that has had three full days off and is at your full disposal to try to piece together the rest of the game. And in a worst-case scenario, if that happens, you figure Eovaldi is good to give you some length the next night, and then you've got a day off. So even if you burn a number of guys for multiple innings in relief of Sale tonight, they're going to have a couple of days to bounce back before game three rolls around. So as I said, I don't think they could characterize it that way publicly. That way, it sounds like they're hedging their bets with the guy that is supposed to be their ace. But that certainly seems to be the thinking that went into this decision and the order of the starters.
With this 2-3-2 format, if they can get one win in Houston, they really get the home field advantage pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, if you think back to what happened in 2018, the Red Sox were the home team. Houston got the split. And then the Red Sox came down here and won three in a row. So that was the reverse formula. That's probably asking a little too much. But I think you're right. That was the feeling heading back from Tropicana Field that they had gotten a split out of the first two and were in good position where it's the best of three, and you have two chances to win those two games at home, and that's exactly what they did. I think when you get this far, it's probably not a huge home field advantage. You've got two quality teams. I mean, the Red Sox have undoubtedly been better at home this year than they were on the road, particularly offensively. They averaged a run more a game at Fenway than they did on the road, but I think some of those things go out the window, but you do like the energy that has been present at Fenway for some of these games. And all things considered, if you get 1-1 going home, even if you don't finish them off, you're in a position to at least get 2 out of 3 and put yourself in the driver's seat for the rest of the way.
We're talking with Sean McAdam, joining us from Houston here on Downtown. You've got a great new piece just posted a couple hours ago at bostonsportsjournal.com. You spoke with a veteran scout, and I thought it was interesting that he said it would be good to test the Astros because they've kind of cruised their way to that division title. Not a lot of important games for them in recent weeks.
Yeah, they haven't really been under the gun in a long time. In fact, I guess you could argue really all season they were in pretty commanding position in the AL West standings for most of the year. They had two decent teams behind them. Oakland for a while looked like they were going to be the one they had to worry about. The A's dropped off in the last 2 months, and then we know that Seattle had their surge to end up being in the wild card right down to 162. And then even though Chicago was a division champ and had a formidable rotation, they didn't put up a lot of fight in that division series, and it was over in four games. So, the guy I spoke to just thought that, you know, wondered how battle-tested the Astros are from this season, because they've had it relatively easy, which isn't to diminish winning 90-plus games and another title, but they haven't been pushed a whole lot. And it was kind of that old boxing analogy. You know, you pop somebody in the nose or in the mouth, and all of a sudden you could stun them early, and maybe they never recover. And that's, I think, what he was trying to get across.
Now, one warning sign he spoke of, and I think it's a great point, is the Houston run game. Tampa Bay really didn't test the Red Sox, but Houston may.
Yeah, and the scout was surprised that the Rays didn't run more. There's more athleticism on that team and guys that can run, like Franco at the top, and they didn't really push that. I suspect that some of that is, like so much that goes on in the game these days, analytically driven. You have to measure whether something is worth the risk with a lineup that formidable, and maybe you don't want to run into outs and cost yourself anything. But in particular, Kevin Plawecki, who I think ended up being something like 2 out of 40 in stolen base attempts, that's something that I'm sure has gotten the attention of the Astros, and particularly the guys that can run a little bit. But even if they don't try to steal, he expected that Baker would be putting some guys in motion just to be a little bit more aggressive on the bases, even if it's not necessarily related to try to steal bases against the pitcher and catcher, but to, you know, take that extra base and be aggressive and maybe force the Red Sox into some mistakes defensively.
Were there any significant changes to the roster from the divisional series?
The only changes are Matt Barnes and Austin Davis are off. Barnes, of course, himself was a replacement for Garrett Richards in that last round. Richards strained a hamstring before game two, had to come off the roster. Barnes came in and then did not pitch well at all in that game two blowout. Mm. They tried to get him an inning of work to get him straight. It didn't work. He needed 30-something pitches to get through an inning with the team leading by 8. That was hardly encouraging. So no surprise that Barnes was off, Davis came off too, and in their places, Hirokazu Sawamura and Darwin's and Hernandez are on the roster for this one, both of whom can give you a little bit more length. And Hernandez, of course, you know, a lefty matchup guy with more electric stuff than Davis has.
Don't really have a closer right now to speak of, although Whitlock was so good in those high-leverage situations against Tampa Bay. Will it be purely a situational decision for Alex Cora?
Yeah, I think there could be situations or scenarios where you could see Robles close. I don't know about Brazier, but clearly they trust him, even though he had a rough outing the other night in the division series and gave up some hard hit balls, but he has been so effective over the last month or so. And of course he's a little battle tested, having had a strong 2018 postseason. I would say, all things being equal, it's Whitlock's opportunity to close out most save situations, but a lot of that is going to be based on matchups and how they get there. And maybe there's a determination along the way that, that Whitlock can be more useful, you know, coming in the sixth or seventh and giving them a couple of innings rather than saving him for a three-run ninth, where they might be more liable to use somebody like Robles or Brazier.
It should be an awful lot of fun. American League Championship Series gets underway just after 8 o'clock tonight. Sean McAdam, Boston Sports Journal. Sean, thanks so much for making time for us on this busy afternoon. We sure appreciate it. Have a great time in Houston. Travel safely, and we'll catch you again soon.
My pleasure, Rich. Thanks for having me.
Talking baseball, Sean McAdam. Look, reason enough right there to subscribe to Boston Sports Journal if you don't already and get all that great inside information.